Take our Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, two lessons today from our reading this week. Mark chapter 11, we'll begin by reading starting at verse 27. And they came again to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders came to him. And they said to him, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority to do these things?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "I will also ask you one question. Then answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? Answer me." And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say from men, they fear the people, for all counted John to have been a prophet indeed." And they answered and they said to Jesus, "We do not know." And Jesus answering said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." As we said this morning, as we were studying from chapter 10, we're down to the last week of the life of Jesus. The final entry into the city of Jerusalem, triumphal entry, as some have said, has already taken place. And Jesus has gone back to the temple again to teach, as he's done on a number of occasions. And so after 3.5 years of public ministry, and having preached many times in Jerusalem, and after confirming his word by signs and miracles, the leaders of the temple were still asking Jesus, "Who gave you this authority?" And I do not object to their questions. I think it's a good question, but I'm sorry. After all the teaching that Jesus done and the words of the prophets that they should have been able to piece together, I question their honesty. The matter of Bible authority is one of the most important subjects for us to get a handle on. It's interesting to me that those who are asking these questions of Jesus are the leaders of the Jews, the chief priests and the scribes, those who would have been in the temple, those who know something about Bible authority. Their questions were good questions. But as we try to think about and make some application even for us, I'll say again, the matter of Bible authority is one of the most important subjects that we need to get a handle on. Every departure for truth has in common a failure to understand or an unwillingness to submit to Bible authority. Discussions that we may have with people today on biblical matters will cause us to see that Bible authority often plays second place to how many have drawn their conclusions. And many, having already believed whatever it is they believe, and what they've been taught by their family or by their friends or by their religious leaders, have little knowledge of what the Bible teaches on most anything. We need to be careful. We need to be careful not to fall into the same pattern. Because we can be susceptible to the same problems that so many have been. That we fail to grasp and understand what Bible authority is. And we can easily be moved, we can easily be swayed by what other people say and what other people believe and what seems or becomes appealing to us in the realm of religion. Paul made a very simple but a powerful point when he said, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus." Colossians 3 and verse 17. The idea being that we should examine what we do or what we practice to make sure that it aligns with what God says. The passage is talking about authority. That whatever it is we do in the realm of religion has to be in the name of Jesus, or that is by the authority of Jesus. that to do something in the name of the Lord is to identify that He is responsible for what we are doing. That we should be able to say, whatever it is we're doing in the realm of religion, that we are doing so by the name of the Lord, or by His authority is what we are saying, that we are doing something according to His will. Now, the fact of the matter is, it's easy to say that. It's easy to say that we are doing His will, when in fact we are doing no such thing. And in fact, many people do just that. It's easy for us to do that and not even realize that what we are doing in the name of religion has little to do with what the Lord wants us to do. It's easy to do, because there are many doctrines and religions that we are close to, people that we know, who do religious-looking things, and they say it's in the name of the Lord, just as we do. But if it's not by the authority given to us in Scripture, it is not in the name of the Lord. It's a simple point, but it's one that is missed by the masses, and we have to be careful that we don't miss it too. Jesus gave an incredible warning about this very thing. It's a familiar passage. Everything we're looking at tonight is familiar to you. Matthew chapter 7. A powerful passage. A powerful statement by the Lord. As we are talking about doing things in the name of the Lord. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Jesus is teaching. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And have we not cast out demons in your name and done many wonderful works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Religious people. That's what he's talking about. Religious people who are going through the act and are doing things that they say is in the name of the Lord, which is to say by the authority of God. But Jesus doesn't recognize them. Why? Because what they are doing is not by the will of the Father in heaven. It's a simple point, isn't it? But we can miss it so quickly. We can bypass it. We can go on and do things that we say are good, or this is religious, this is what we should be doing. We can say it's in the name of the Lord, but that does not make it in the name of the Lord if He hasn't said so, if it's not by the will of God. Lost religious people is what Jesus is speaking of. Doing religious things in the minds of men, but not doing the will of God. I find that to be a very painful subject. And I find that to be a very difficult situation to discuss with people. Though people are doing what they think is right, they cannot back up what they do by Scripture. And the warning, again, is that we have to be careful. We can get carried away too. And we can do things that we believe to be religious, things that we think are good, things that we believe will please God, and yet is not a part of the will of God. Jesus identified the problem that people were following their will and not God's. The apostles had to deal with the same issue. It was a matter of authority that came up in Acts chapter 4 when the apostles were before some of the Jewish leaders. I mean, this is just like what Jesus had to deal with. And if you turn to Acts chapter 4, again, just a familiar passage, but just it stands out on these points. The apostles in the early days of preaching the gospel were questioned, who gave you authority? It's like the same questions that Jesus received in our text back in Mark chapter 11. And it's the same questions that we have to be asking each other and be asking ourselves when we talk about or teach or preach about what we should be doing. It is right for someone to say, is that by the authority of God? How do we know and prove it? There's nothing wrong with those things. Well, here in Acts chapter 4, when the apostles even had been arrested because they were preaching Jesus and were brought before the Sadducees and had to answer some questions. And in verse 7 we begin reading, Acts 4, verse 7. And when they had set them in their midst, it's talking about Peter and John. When they had set them in their midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? And it's like saying, by whose authority are you doing these things? Verse 8. And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to the helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now, in part, what Peter was addressing or answering was the lame man who had been made whole in chapter 3, who was standing there. That's who Peter was referencing, that it was by the name of Jesus Christ that these things happened. But it's interesting to me that in the text, they were basically asked, by what name do you do these things? Sounds familiar. That's what Jesus was being asked in Mark chapter 11. You know, by what name or by whose authority are you doing these things? So the Jewish leaders recognized that authority in the realm of religion had to come from the right source. That not just anyone could stand up and say that here's what we should do, or here's what God wants us to do, but it had to come from the right source. And they had the point right, that there is all kinds of authority, but that does not mean that it is right. In the realm of religion, there are all kinds of authorities. What I mean by that is, look at all the religions around us. They all have their own leaders. They all have their own doctrine. Which one is right? Well, you ask those religious leaders, and they would all say that they are right. By whose authority? In what name do you speak? And so for the Jewish leaders to be asking Jesus that question, I don't object to the question. The question was right. I think their motivation is questionable. But their question was right. And the Jewish leaders who were questioning Peter and John, they were asking the right question. Motivation, again, was questionable. But their questions was right. And so we understand, in the realm of religion, authority has to come from the right source. In life, take a pause for a moment, and we think about in life, we have to submit to authority. There has to be some kind of rule. We can think about that in different ways and in different levels even. You know, in school, you know, there has to be some authority. Classrooms would be chaos without authority. Authority in classrooms is getting less and less, and it's turning into chaos. I'm not sure we can fix that. But we see what's happening. In the workplace, in the work environment, there has to be some kind of authority. Someone has to be in charge. We understand that. We get that, don't we? In government, local government and federal government, we understand there has to be someone who's in charge. That there has to be authority that comes from the right source. We get that, or else there's chaos. Let me give you an example. Maybe this is helpful, maybe it's not. in the fire service again. There's a lot of examples from the fire service because it just works for me. I understand. And I hope you do. When you have an emergency incident, someone is in charge. When you go by a car wreck and there's people out there doing things, there is someone in charge. Everyone is not in charge, I guarantee. There is one person in charge, not three or five or ten. There is one person who's in charge. There is one person who is going to have to answer if something goes wrong. Everyone doesn't answer. One person. And that's the way that pecking order works. That's the authority. Sometimes when I have arrived on an emergency situation, a wreck or a structure fire or something like that, and I'm not the first one there, somebody else is already in charge. Because whoever pulls up who is an officer first in charge takes command. Somebody has to be in command and has to give orders on what has to happen. Next arriving officer of higher rank may choose to assume command. Someone has to be in charge. Sometimes when I arrived on scene, I didn't always take command. If the scene was flowing well and everything was going fine and things were starting to wrap, it was going to be a long scene, I didn't always take command. You didn't have to. It was already under control. On the other hand, there were some times when I was chief and I arrived on scene, it was going to be a long event. I wanted command because ultimately if something went wrong, I was going to have to answer anyway. I wanted to be in charge. I mean, someone had to be in charge. Someone had to be the authority. And so I've thought about that a number of times, how that kind of a system works and how there can be applications to that. I can think of coming on scene and the captain saying, "Do you want to take command?" "Yes, I do." And he gets on the radio. 5404 to fire comm. 5401 will be assuming command. 5401 is now command. Everybody hears that on the radio. Everybody knows who is the authority on scene. We get that, don't we? I mean, that in an example like that, we understand that. We understand the need. We understand the purpose. We understand how that makes things flow in a scene like that because everybody can't be in charge. Everybody has different ideas. For there to be a uniformed action, one person has to be giving the direction. We get that. The application in the spiritual realm. People say sometimes, where did all of these churches come from? I may have said this before. A lady asked me one time, just distraught. She was so confused. She says, why did God make all of these churches? It's so confusing to know what to do. Well, he didn't. God did not design all of these churches. Christ came to establish one, his church. And he said before he ascended to heaven, all authority has been given to me on heaven and on earth. And told his apostles to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every nation, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We get that, don't we? I mean, when we stop and we think about it in a practical sense, about how authority has to work in our lives daily, in secular aspects, we get that. We did not invent authority. God did. And there's the application that we have to make. In Acts chapter 4, the Jewish leaders asking Peter and John, by what power or by what name have you done these things? He described, he said, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I mean, he defined where their authority came from. But there were still some who were unwilling to see Jesus. They were unwilling to see the spokesmen that Jesus appointed, those to whom he delegated authority, the apostles, to teach. And even, of course, this is after the resurrection, even when there was just so much proof, there were still those who rejected Jesus. There were those who rejected Jesus, even though he was foretold by the prophets of old. all of which is a demonstration of the failure to consider the authority of God. And we can see what happens. We can see how people fragment. We can see how they went different ways. We can see how there was dissension and how there was problems because there was an unwillingness to accept the authority of God. And the apostles affirmed, even in that text, that salvation comes by no other name but by the name of Jesus Christ. That's where their authority for teaching came from Jesus. And that salvation came by no other name than by Jesus. And so that kind of adds credence to what Jesus said back in Matthew chapter 7, you know, that you can do religious things and say it's by the name of the Lord, but if it's not by the will of God, it's not. It's not what God wants. And what Paul said, all things you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, we see how these passages all come together in taking us back to where we began, to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. The authority of Jesus was being questioned. It seems that what Jesus was being asked about perhaps had something to do with the events that had just happened previous in the temple. After Jesus had made his triumphant entry, he went to the temple and the money changers were there and he turned over at the tables. Those events happened. It was later that they came to Jesus and said, "By what authority have you done these things?" These things is what Jesus had just done. That's the context of what was happening there. They were asking about his actions. And his teachings obviously made the scribes and the chief priests angry, so much so that they wanted to kill him. Their motive? Jealousy probably plays into it. The leaders were losing their following. But the bigger picture is they were missing Christ. There were those of humble minds who heard the words of Jesus and were amazed and listened and obeyed. And so the exchange that took place provides us with three powerful points. And we've already kind of dealt with them, but I want us to go back to the text and read part of it again so these points stand out, because this is a powerful teaching passage. This in Matthew 21, which has a parallel account. When we're talking with people, I mean, we need to get it. But it's a powerful teaching passage for us. Verse 27 again. And they came again to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, the chief priests and the scribes and the elders came to him, and they said to him, "By what authority are you doing these things?" That's one. Two. "And who gave you authority to do these things?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "I will also ask you one question. Then answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, number three, was it from heaven or from men? Answer me." Three standout points. By what authority are you doing these things? The Jewish leaders understood the necessity of authority in religion. These leaders recognized the need of authority in what's being said and what was being taught. They just didn't recognize Jesus as that authority. Two, that authority has to come from the right source. Who gave you this authority? So someone who is speaking with authority had to have someone give him that right. You know, we get that in the secular realm. A police officer pulls you over and wants to give you a ticket, you know, because you are speeding. He has the right to do so. He didn't write the law. Legislators wrote the law. But he is one who enforces. He has the authority. He's been given the authority to enforce that law. Jesus was asked, "Who gave you the authority to do these things?" Not sure anyone had to give him authority. He was God, but it was the Father who gave him that authority, who sent him here, and he was doing the will of the Father. So it came from that right source. You know, just to claim to be a religious leader does not make you one, not a true one. Just to say you have authority does not mean you do. Where did the authority come from? The authority of Jesus came from the Father. And then the third point, the baptism of John. Was it from heaven or from men? And those Jewish leaders, they were stuck. They knew the answer is the idea that I get from it. But they couldn't say, because they were pinned up. If we say it's from heaven, then he will say, why did you not believe him? Why didn't you believe John? But if they say no, if we say it came from men, we can't say that, because all the people hold John as a prophet. They may do something, they may kill us. And so they felt they were stuck, they couldn't answer. But Jesus identified for us two sources of authority. There are two sources of authority. Now wait a minute, before you say, no, there's not, there's only one. No, listen. Jesus identified there are two sources of authority. They're not both right. But we can choose authority from heaven or authority from man. That's two sources. But it's only authority from heaven that's right. And we will have to choose. It was true then, and it's still true today. And we have to be willing to submit to the will of God, to accept His word, to accept His will, to respond and to obey Him as the one with true authority, as He is the Son of God. This lesson is about Bible authority. Jesus taught us a lesson about Bible authority, that there is the need of authority in the religion, that authority has to come from the right source. There are two choices, two sources to choose from, but only one is right, and that's from God. It was Jesus who had been given all authority in heaven and earth, who said, who believes and is baptized shall be saved. And the passage still rings just as true today as it did when Jesus said it, and we still have that choice. We can choose to accept the authority of the Lord and believe in Him and obey Him, or we can reject Him. The choice will be ours. What will it be? I hope we'll think about that very carefully tonight and as we go through this life and make good choices. If you need to respond to the gospel, we hope you'll come now as we stand.